Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior shows are also available there. Just go to local programming, scroll down to Your Financial Choices, and peruse the collection available. Welcome to the show, folks. Today is May 8th, 2019. The markets were pretty flat today. The Dow closing at 25,967, the NASDAQ at 7943, and the S&P at 2879. Our topic tonight is caring for a loved one, Alzheimer's, and planning. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. We have Seamus in the studio to answer the calls this evening and take your information. We ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Seamus and he'll write it down and bring it into the studio. Email is also available through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. My guest this evening is attorney James Ruggiero. Since 1990, Mr. Ruggiero has been helping families and business owners create estate plans aimed at transferring their legacy successfully to the next generation. He's the owner of Ruggiero Law Offices, LLC, with offices in Paoli and Center Valley, where he practices in the area of estate planning, estate administration, elder law, business law, and real estate. Jim has developed a niche in dealing with closely held small business owners and advising on formation, growth, and succession of the business. He has advised clients on contract negotiations, employee contracts and disputes, patents, copyright, real estate lease, and purchase. He serves as a board member of the Estate Planning Council of the Lehigh Valley and is an accredited estate planner and has been a frequent guest and sub-host for me on this very show, Your Financial Choices.
Good evening, Lloyd.
Welcome, Jim.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back. Apologize to the audience for my little bit of a raspy voice, but we're going to get through this tonight.
Yeah, and Jim comes with a wealth of information. And in prior shows, we've talked about estate planning. We've talked about powers of attorney. Tonight, this is another topic that's near and dear to Jim's heart, which, you know, we'll expound upon a little bit. But what we're going to cover could be a difficult topic, and that is caregiving for a loved one who's unable to care for themselves, which could be any number of situations. Specifically, Jim's going to touch on Alzheimer's or cognition impairment. What applies for that can apply to so many other situations as well. Sometimes it isn't just mental impairment. It could be physical. And a lot of what we're going to talk about as far as the financial and legal and medical needs are going to apply to those as well, but particularly Alzheimer's. You're going to talk, Jim, about some communication techniques, how to help with the care, but also, again, those difficult or important topics relating to financial issues, medical issues, and legal issues. And before you set the table for our conversation tonight, I also want to mention that you are going to be a guest speaker at the Alzheimer's Association conference of the Delaware Valley chapter at DeSales University on Monday, June 10th, 2019, and that's 8:30 to 4. And you're having, looks like, medical experts, social work experts, and you with the legal expert as well. So that's the Alzheimer's Association Delaware Valley Chapter Pennsylvania Dementia Conference at DeSales on Monday, June 10th, and you're going to be speaking there. So we're lucky our listening audience is going to have a little window into that. So could you please set the table, though, Jim, why this is kind of an important topic for you and why you like to talk about it and attend, you know, present at conferences as an expert in this area, really?
So, Lori, this is personal for me. When we talk about the caregiving journey, I have been a caregiver in my own family for loved ones, starting when I was 17 years old to take care of my grandparents. With my mother was the only daughter. So when I was in college, we moved into my grandparents' house, and we were the live-in care. So that's where our caregiving journey started. And later in life, I was court-appointed guardian for people that were incapacitated and had to take care of folks who were suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's, and taking care of our own parents as they aged and had their own issues. And they did not have dementia or Alzheimer's, but we had physical incapacities that we had to take care of them. So the journey is what we've all been experiencing in it. As a lawyer, I have a perspective, but as a son and a husband and a, you know, grandchild, I have a different perspective that I really think matters. So when we want to talk about the journey, you and I always have to talk about making sure our clients are organized. Every year it's tax time. They've got to get organized. Every year we want to see them for their annual legal update checkup. They need to be organized. But understanding what happens when we get involved in this caregiving journey is what I really want to try and set the table tonight for the audience to understand, that it's so involved, but it is a joy to take care of people you love.
It is. I've been in that position too, and it is. It's hard, and it can require some extra effort and energy, but you have to have your own support system sometimes too, but it's really fulfilling. So can we start, if you don't mind, and we have a few minutes before our first break, can we start with a little bit about some signs that people could kind of watch out for if they're suspecting some, you know, cognition issues?
So I'd like to just talk about the seven stages of Alzheimer's disease, if I could, before our first break.
Okay.
So when we talk about these things, the stages don't always fall into neat boxes. So the symptoms can vary from person to person, but this can be a guide for the audience to get an understanding about how they can help know what to look for so that they can plan for a friend or a loved one's care moving forward. So in stage one, you have normal outward behaviors exhibited by the person suffering from Alzheimer's. So outwardly, we don't see the changes that are going on inwardly. Mm. So we don't have a crystal ball. So there's not going to be any symptoms that you can spot. The only way to spot it is with a PET scan. So if you're getting a baseline for a neurologist, it might show up as a result of getting a PET scan at that point. But stage two, very mild changes. Oftentimes, you're not going to notice anything amiss in the loved one's behaviors. You're going to just talk it up to normal, you know, senior moments.
Yeah.
Senior moments. So even a doctor doesn't catch that. So you can forget a word, misplace an object, ask someone to finish a sentence for you. Those are those very mild changes. But when we see them increase, so it starts to become a mild decline, that would be stage three, we're able to notice the changes in thinking and reasoning. So they forget something that they just read to you, or the same question starts to get repeated over and over. And they have trouble making plans or organizing their day, have trouble, you know, relating to meeting new people. They forget names. So this would be the mild decline. And there is no set timeline as we walk through any of these stages of Alzheimer's. We know start to finish, generally, it's about a 10-year phase from stage 1 through stage 7, but everybody goes through different stages at different lengths of time. So, and then the moderate decline, it's a more obvious progression that people see. So,
Jim, we're at our first break. You need a drink of water. We're going to come back and continue our topic, talking about caregiving for Alzheimer's or dementia, cognitive impairment. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY offers many choices and real voices.
This is Tom Druckenmiller. Join me and our other folk music hosts each weekday evening from 7 to 9 and Sunday from 11 to 1 for a great mix of classic folk, bluegrass and old time, Celtic, blues and contemporary songwriters, plus interviews, concert information and more.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening attorney James Ruggiero, who has offices in Paoli and Center Valley. And we are talking with him tonight about caring for a loved one, Alzheimer's, and planning. But again, we're expanding that. It's not just Alzheimer's. It could be dementia, other cognitive impairment. And some of what we're going to talk about as we go through the show would even apply to other kinds of incapacity that would be still applicable, financial, legal, medical. So we're going to set the stage for what we're talking about tonight. But what is so important, as Jim has been going through, are the seven stages of Alzheimer's, what we need to kind of watch for and pay attention to. Number one, first stage was, he said, you don't see it outwardly necessarily, it's internally. A PET scan would show it possibly. Otherwise, maybe we don't know. Stage two, senior moments. Stage three, increasing moments such that it's noticeable changes in thinking and reasoning, maybe people repeating their questions, and it's considered a mild decline. And Jim, before we went to the break, you were starting to talk about moderate decline. But folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and we can take calls live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, give your question to Seamus. He'll write it down and bring it into us. So Jim, you were starting to talk about the moderate decline, stage four.
And in stage four, Lori, new issues appear when you have a moderate decline. You see your loved ones start to have trouble cooking meals or even ordering from a menu. We also note that they all of a sudden then have trouble bill paying, forget to put the right amount on the check, don't know what date it is. They're, you know, forgetting seasons, months, things like that, and to start to forget individual personal details about themselves. So that would be where we're at with a stage four in the middle of the moderate decline. From there, folks move into stage five. And when we're talking about all these stages, it's important to understand sometimes you can move rapidly from one stage to the next and then be stuck in another stage for a longer period of time. And not just with Alzheimer's, we see frequent diagnoses of clients with Lewy bodies disease and frontal temporal dementia. So the younger folks that come in really aren't suffering from Alzheimer's, but they have dementia and it's an advanced type such as Lewy bodies or frontal temporal lobe. And all of these symptoms of when you see a decline, they can apply to the different types of dementia. But stage five, you really notice it because that's where your moderately severe decline. Now, how can you have a moderately severe decline? I'm not really certain, but I mean, it's the beginning of the deep slippery slope with the severe decline. People start forgetting where they are, what their address is, their phone number. You see confusion about what clothes they would put on. Start to lose track of where they are from location-wise. So driving becomes difficult for them. And you start to see them taking the left instead of the right and winding up.
I do that now. That's a problem. That's because I'm left-handed, though.
But well, that means you're in your right mind, just like myself. But then you wind up miles and miles away from your original destination. Early on in my career, I was court-appointed to be guardian for an elderly woman who had dementia. She went to take a left on Route 30 and took a right, and they found her, you know, a day and a half later.
Yeah.
So these things occur, and unless you're on top of the situation for your loved one, you know, people who live alone have these declines, and they don't necessarily have someone seeing them. And even when you're living with someone, until you get to, you know, stage five, the other stages can be more subtle in their appearance. But let's just finish the seven stages. We've got two to go. Severe decline is really tough on the family, because that's when mom or dad forgets your name. So they know that you're related to them, but they can't say your name. And that is really, really hard when your parent can't recognize you by saying your name when you walk in the room. So they also start to confuse you for someone else. And I remember when someone started thinking I was their son, and how advanced the decline was, because their son had passed, you know, decades ago. But these are things that also are troubling. Delusions can occur at this point in time with the severe decline. So they could need help with the activities of daily life, such as just toileting, getting to the bathroom, things like that. And then stage seven is a very severe decline. At that point, you're really talking about they need help with all activities of daily life. They can't really be at home anymore unless it's equipped for that. They've got to be in skilled nursing because they need help with eating, drinking, walking, sitting up. And that is a fade that is to black, unfortunately. That's the end when we hit stage seven. But the good news is throughout these stages, you have to, as a caregiver, remember that life is short. We shouldn't get caught up in the stress of the moment. Instead of, we should recognize these times that we have with our loved ones are precious. We all know that we just have today. So when we talk about joy, we mentioned that earlier. I want to come back to that and talk about moments of joy. There's a great book by author Jolene Bracke called Creating Moments of Joy that we like to advise caregivers to read. But you have to understand that when a person has short-term memory loss, his or her life is made up of moments. They become pictures versus, I'll use a data term, a rolling videotape. It's no longer a constant film. It becomes snapshots. So while we can't always create a perfectly wonderful day with those folks who have dementia or Alzheimer's, we can certainly absolutely attain wonderful moments with them. And that should be
That's part of
the plan. You have to focus on the joy. You know, moments that put smiles on their faces when they recognize the love that you have for them, they give you that love back. They're still capable of giving you their love, just not in the same way. You know, they can have memories triggered that are meaningful to them and you can relate to. 5 minutes later, they might not remember the memory that they had or the moment that you just experienced with them, but that good feeling will linger on. So we want the caregivers to have a positive experience throughout their caregiving because we know how stressful it is. You see our clients, I see our clients when they come into our offices exhausted because they can't get a break. It's 24/7 when you're living with a loved one and caring for them. So, you know, the journey is important. You have to be prepared for this because you've got over 15 million people in the United States caring for someone with dementia or Alzheimer's today. That is an enormous number of families. So there's 15 million people. There's over 15 million families touched by Alzheimer's and dementia. So when you have to care for someone with Alzheimer's disease, it impacts every moment of your daily life. I had a client in today, and if we have to go to break, I'll share a story. She has a daughter with special needs, a wonderful person. She's her daughter's guardian. Her father just died Now she has to take care of her mother who has dementia. She is in the sandwich generation. But she is one of the most effervescent, bubbly, happy people I know because of her outlook. But what she said to me today was important. My father took very good care in planning for he and his wife, her mother, so that she was able to transition into the role of agent under a power of attorney for her mother. Everything was well organized so that it wasn't a burden that she thought it could be, that she's, you know, a lifetime caregiver, but it was a blessing that the planning was done. So she was the successor to her dad to take care of her mother. And she just was not stressed over the job. It was what life is, mm-hmm. you know.
And so grateful to her father for taking care of things. And that makes a real difference. So we've seen enough cases where people come in and they can't take the time to grieve because they're so stressed out trying to figure out what to do because things weren't done ahead of time. Folks, we are at our second break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY.org. We are talking with Attorney Jim Ruggiero from Ruggiero Law Offices. Information, I'm sure, is available on Jim's website as well, which is ruggierolaw.net, and that's RuggierOlaw.net. And Jim is going to be speaking at Alzheimer's Association Pennsylvania Dementia Conference at DeSales University on Monday, June 10th. It's a whole day, and if you think you could be in this situation and be a caregiver, it might be a conference to attend. So, Jim, we were talking about, let me mention the phone number again, 610-758-8810. You can talk live with us on air, and if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Seamus, and he'll write it down. I am enthralled with listening to Jim, though. He's very well informed, and I find him very easy to listen to and understand, which is wonderful when you're talking about some of these complicated, sensitive type of topics. But we covered the seven stages of the disease of Alzheimer's in particular. We talked about your example of, you know, kind of making sure we have things in order and having documents in order, which is great. There are sometimes situations where people are still able to take care of some of their own planning and what would be really important with that. But also, my concern is if you're sensing that someone is declining, you know, how are you communicating with them? How do you communicate with folks? Is it, what's the timing of doing documents? You know, in the best world, we do them when we're all aware and have the ability. But communication could end up being an issue here. What kind of?
Well, it's important to know how to communicate with your loved one as you go through these stages and as a professional. So what is the timing? As you pointed out, we want to do it early now. But when later comes, I will tell you that we have clients who are still working through stage four of Alzheimer's disease. So we're doing planning for people through the first four stages because even though they're starting to suffer a moderate decline, doesn't mean they're not able to meaningfully participate in their planning. So when you look at where we're at with the stages, someone with a moderately severe decline possibly could still make their planning wishes known and still get those wishes documented and get an update. Once we get to stage 6 or stage 7, it's not going to be possible. So every case is different, but if our clients know what their wishes are and are able to effectively communicate their wishes to us, lots of times we can get the planning updated.
I have a client, I was speaking to the wife recently, and her husband has Parkinson's, and we had noticed that there was some mental decline a bit, but not always. And she confirmed and said, yes, no, there's days. He has really good days. And that's when he tells me where the records are. That's when he tells me where the documents are. That's where, you know, I pepper him with questions and get all the information. We have good days. She said, but there are a lot of bad days too.
So knowing that there are good days and bad days and good moments and bad moments is important to understand the rhythms of your loved one's life. And as professionals, understand that for our clients as well. We will shorten the meetings. Rather than spending 90 minutes covering a gamut of topics, if we can just focus in on one issue for 30 minutes, we're able to get something done. And sometimes afternoons are better than mornings for certain family members. You know, these folks are entitled to participate in their planning and participate in the outcomes of, you know, what happens next. And we see people who are very, very, you know, sad, and when they get this diagnosis and the family all of a sudden says it's the end of the world. It's not. It means things are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to die, unfortunately. And as I say this as a professional, we can't escape death, but we never know when it's going to be. We just want to live a good life. And mm-hmm. So I see so many people that are so strong, and caregivers who take care of loved ones. They show the strength that is amazing. I think I saw on the news this morning that being a full-time mom is equivalent to 1.5 full-time jobs. Because, or 2.5 maybe. I think it was 2.5. I was a little bit distracted because you're working over 90 hours a week as a parent. But this applies to caregivers as well. These most caregivers are older, and 60% are women, and predominantly they're in their 50s and their 60s, and you're spending your life caregiving for your loved one. And it is, you know, not just one job, 24/7. Mm-hmm. We need three people to cover three shifts,
yeah,
5 days a week and get weekends off. So really it's about five people,
yeah,
when you have someone living you with like that. So, and it's important to understand early on when we're communicating with a loved one, they're going to lose emotional control because they're going to not have the same skills that they've had prior to the onset of the, you know, Alzheimer's. When the decline begins, they're going to be, as we said, a lot of it is internal. The frustration is internal, so it's going to express outwardly with anger, some tears, some depression. So we've got to be a cheerleader for that loved one. And so it's okay. You know, we have to learn what is going to make them feel good throughout the day. Give them those moments of joy. What do they do to pick themselves up when not feeling well? Learning how to communicate with them by working together, paying the bills together so they're still part of it. Working and coming into your office for the annual review, working together. Updating the legal documents. These things are all important, but it's having them be part of the process. Because lots of times if you just go in and all of a sudden say, all right, you're not unable to take care of yourself any longer, now I'm going to be the mother to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother's not going to like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to really like that because you're going to have this role reversal. So in communication with these loved ones, we want to be partners with them in the journey. We don't want to all of a sudden say, oh, now I've got to parent my parent, because that's not, in my opinion, the proper attitude. I'm going to provide more love and care for my loved one, my mom or my dad or my spouse, just like they have loved me and taken care of me my whole life.
You know, it's funny. When I was a kid, I had a diary, like in seventh grade, and I started the diary and said, I want to document, you know, everything I'm going through so someday I don't forget what it was like to be a kid. so that when I had my children and they were going through those teen years, those frustrated teen years, I was right there because I remembered from my diary of the frustration I had as a kid and could understand what my kids were going through. So that's something to keep in mind too, that as you as a caregiver want to remember that how you want to be treated too, and to do it respectfully, etc. A couple quick stories before our midway break. I had a friend whose mother early on found out they had Alzheimer's. She still had capacity, and she also had
congestive heart failure.
Yeah, and they said, okay, would you want to be revived? She said, absolutely not. They got that all kind of documented. And even my own father, who had a stroke, prior to realizing he had a stroke, my mother said if she had known the signs of stroke, she would have been more prepared for this. There was some non-bill paying. There was some frustration. His wasn't dementia or Alzheimer's, but again, to this topic, there was some kind of something going on in his brain that frustrated him. So, folks, this is important stuff. When we come back, we're going to talk more about probably the medical, the financial, and the legal issues around this in the second half of the show. If you have questions, give us a call, 610-758-8810.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You have been listening to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert on WDIY 88.1 Allentown. Your current weather in Lehigh Valley is 72. Tonight, a slight chance of showers, low around 51. Thursday, showers mostly cloudy with a high near 58. Thursday night, low around 54. Friday, showers likely and possible thunderstorms, cloudy with a high near 74. Friday night, thunderstorms before 2 a.m. with a low around 51. Saturday is going to be mostly sunny with a high near 69. And Saturday night, low around 50. And for your Sunday, rain likely after 8 a.m., cloudy with a high near 61. And Sunday night, low around 51. Now back to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back. Folks, I have in the studio with me this evening Attorney Attorney James Ruggiero from Ruggiero Law Offices, and his website is Ruggiero, ruggierolaw.net, and we are talking about caregiving, caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's and the planning around that. I also want to mention that Jim is going to be a speaker at the Alzheimer's Association Delaware Valley Chapter 2019 PA Conference at DeSales University on June 10th, and you probably could just Google that as well because the website is a little bit complicated, tinyurl.com /ALZ conferences for registration. But it's for healthcare givers, professionals, and caregivers as well, with lots of information, different topics being the latest in Alzheimer's research, legal and financial planning. That's what Jim's going to be talking about, lifting the spirit of the caregiver and building a culture that supports person-centered dementia care. So that's really valuable to the community. When you say 15 million people in the United States, or I think it was United States, it's a lot of people. So Jim, can we move? I don't want to step on maybe what you might have been thinking about talking next, but I thought, why don't we move to talking about some of the decision-making or impact that the caregiver would have to have, not just, you know, supporting them and being there for them, but actually some of the decision-making that they may have to have around maybe medical issues, end of life, financial, legal. Do you want to kind of touch on that a little bit?
I'm happy to jump into that, Lori, because when you're a caregiver, the role is all-encompassing. So people get bogged down in the day-to-day caring of loved ones. It's exhausting. When you're in those middle stages, it could be so long. You're dealing, as you talked about, dealing with children and writing down your diary, what it was like as a teenager, so you could deal with your teenagers when you're an adult. That notebook will carry over to dealing with your loved one who is in the middle stages, because you have to treat them like an 8-year-old and raise them like an 8-year-old and raise them like a 5-year-old. Well, a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old can't make any legal decisions on their own. They can't enter into any contracts. They can't do any bill paying. They're not going to be on time getting their information to you and the folks at your firm to get their annual taxes done on time. So a caregiver has to take over these responsibilities as well. So part of the planning journey we're talking about is making sure that you have all the tools in the toolbox. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't done any planning, it's not too late to start. Again, depending on where a loved one is at, they can still participate perhaps meaningfully in the updating of the planning. But fundamentally, I talk about this all the time. There are, you know, the core documents from an estate plan that everyone should have. Everyone says, well, I don't have an estate. Well, if you have a car, you have a bank account, you own a house, you have an estate, just means that you own property. But we want to take care of what I talk about, the today documents and the tomorrow documents. As a caregiver, I want to make sure that I've got the today documents in place for my loved one that I'm caring for. So what do I mean by that? I'm talking about advanced directives that are there to spring into place to take care of my loved one. Number one being a limited durable power of attorney for health care, so that if my loved one becomes incapacitated, I'm designated as the agent able to make health care decisions for them. Number two is a HIPAA release, which gives me the ability to go to the doctor with mom or dad or a spouse and sit there and take notes and get all that protected medical information.
Is that outside the limited durable power health power?
It is, Lori. I create a standalone HIPAA document for all of my clients because the healthcare power of attorney document is a springing power of attorney. So it only springs into place in the event you're actually incapacitated.
You guys, listen to this. This is something. Can we reiterate this? Can you reiterate that? This is important because we think we have a healthcare power of attorney. And I've heard this. I saw it at a conference. Someone thought they were going to go in and take care of their daughter. Their daughter was talking. They said, no, you have no say here. So healthcare power of attorney, very different than that HIPAA release.
It is. So a HIPAA release is a very important tool. Every time you go to a doctor's office or a hospital, they ask you to sign their HIPAA policy. They don't necessarily give you a HIPAA release. You sign and acknowledge that there's a HIPAA policy. We never get to see what that policy is, but they will provide it to you upon asking. But a HIPAA release says, I name my wife and my two children as individuals able to receive my protected healthcare information from the date I sign this. So importantly for families, sister lives out on the West Coast. She can call the hospital, talk to the social worker if mom or dad is in there, if they fell, broke a hip, find out what the care plan is, what the discharge plan is, what rehabs they're looking at. All these things would be governed under a HIPAA release because mom or dad isn't necessarily mentally incapacitated when it comes to making their medical decisions. I was my dad's healthcare agent. I was only able to act as his agent the last day of his life because he had capacity up until that last day. So the HIPAA release, however, that we had permitted me to go to the doctor visits. And it's important to be there, to be that second set of ears.
Well, especially if you are suspecting some decline, maybe you're starting to be aware of those senior moments, which again, we doesn't necessarily mean you have Alzheimer's, but it could be enough that it's a signal that maybe you need to think about doing this.
Well, everyone in the audience, I want to ask you this question. How many times when you asked your parent how their doctor's visit went, was the answer fine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I assure you that they discussed a lot more than what was relayed to you at that appointment, and it might be fine, it might not be. They might have gotten the Ryan Act read to them, and they don't want to share that with you that they weren't keeping up, so they told you everything was fine. If you're there in the room, you're able to ask questions. You're able to be an advocate for them. So when I talk about these tools that we want every family member to have, we want you to be an advocate. So when I say healthcare agent, that means you're going to be an advocate for your loved one. So those are examples of advanced medical directives that we can have in place and put them in place.
Those are the today documents.
The today documents. Part of that also is and we've talked about these before, is a very good general durable power of attorney, so that it can be effective immediately, it can be a springing power of attorney, but you want, as an agent, the ability to handle your loved one's affairs on a broad basis.
And Jim and I did a show on that. It might have been 2017, Jim. Mm-hmm. So that is on the WDIY.org. If you go to local programming, go down to Your Financial Choices and scroll through. You might have to scroll through to 2017, but I think it might have been 2017.
I think it was based on we had a lot of changes in the Pennsylvania laws regarding general durable powers of attorney. That was after Act 95 came in place in subsequent amendments. And if any of you heard it before, just a reminder, we updated the laws in Pennsylvania regarding powers of attorney, and we limited the powers agents can have based on some lobbying and, you know, positions that people thought things should be changed. But that might make sense in certain situations, but in other situations, we want to have what we call these hot powers back in place to have an agent have the ability to deal with someone's IRA, change beneficiary designations, take required minimum distributions out. When we talk about the planning, if you need to take money out of a retirement account for mom or dad to help pay for, you know, additional care at home, you have to have that power of attorney on file, and you have to have it be honored by that organization that, you know, is holding the money. So part of the planning is, once the documents are in place, you've got to get them to the right people as well. So, you know, examples for today that we can talk about, I had a conference call with a client's CPA and their financial advisor today about what bucket of money to utilize to pay for care. And one of the things that one of the advisors said resonates to me. The advisor said, "I've worked with you for 40 years. You've done well with your savings, but please use your money now to take care of yourself." Mm-hmm. You talk about worrying about leaving money for the children. The children are all in their 60s now. They're okay. But have an aide come 40 hours a week if that's what you need at your apartment to take care of you. So daughter now is helping with the bill paying. She goes, "Up until a year ago, I never knew anything about mom's finances. I never had to get involved." This, you know, client is in her late 80s and very independent. So knowledge is important. As you said, your client was getting from her husband, "Where are the documents? Where's the passwords, by the way? Right. Where's the list of things like that?" So those today documents, your healthcare power of attorney, your living will, your HIPAA release, your general durable power of attorney, these are what caregivers need to have in their toolbox, so when they go out in the world to take care of their loved one, they're able to just show the doctor, the hospital, the bank, the financial advisory firm where the money is, or the post office even, because they need to change the address on where mom or dad's mail is going to, that they've got the authority to do these things. Mm-hmm. So these are often overlooked. Sometimes, you know, people will have that tomorrow document. That is a last will and testament. When we talk about tomorrow, there's going to be a tomorrow when we don't wake up, when we're gone. So that's why it is important to have a last will and testament. But from a caregiving standpoint, I think it's very important to understand that the tools that we discussed at today documents really matter. And also another tool for caregivers, it might make sense to have a caregiver agreement with your loved one to document what your duties are. And we talk about these caregiver agreements from the perspective of when you've got four children in a family and one of them has mom living with him or her and is taking on the job of that 2.5 full-time job, they're not out there in the workforce. They're not putting money into their retirement plan. They're not accruing their vacation days. They're not being able to get the economic benefit of being out in the workforce because they're taking care of mom or dad. There has value to that.
Yeah, and that the family, if you have a family member doing the caregiving, that means your loved one isn't in a facility that's costing $10,000 a month.
And so anything that's left, you've saved it for your three other siblings that didn't donate their time. So it is important. The longer someone stays with a caregiver, the better their quality of life. And also, yes, you can help save, you know, some assets that might be there for the next generation down. But we don't want a caregiver to, you know, support their siblings. We want them to take care of their loved one, but you know, it's never going to be fair and balanced. So that's part of just talking about today.
Well, I had someone who had come to me and was just bouncing some things off, and she had did not have a family agreement, but she said, "Lori, what do you think? You know, I took care of my mom for the last years of her life. Do you think I could, you know, ask my family? You know, I even bought a van so I could transport my mother, and they don't realize all the money I put out." I said, "You know, if you have a relationship with your siblings, go ahead and ask them that." But it was a little uncomfortable for her, and they actually did you know, kind of give her some money for what she had done, which I thought was very nice. But a caregiver agreement would help kind of outline that so everyone would know up front. We're coming up on our last break, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Not only is becoming a WDIY member a great way to support the programs you love, it has its benefits. WDIY members have access to our weekly member ticket giveaway emails. Discover great concerts, theater performances, film screenings, and more, all while supporting the many choices and real voices on WDIY. Make your gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 7 or wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and I have with me in the studio attorney Jim Ruggiero of Ruggiero Law Offices, and we are talking about caring for a loved one, Alzheimer's, and planning. But again, if you've listened to the show, we know it's much more than that. I also have mentioned and want to just repeat that Jim will be speaking at the Alzheimer's Association Delaware Valley Chapter Pennsylvania Dementia Conference on June 10th. Which is a Monday at DeSales University. So you can, I'm sure he probably has information on his website regarding that, and that is ruggierolaw.net. And Ruggiero is R-U-G-G-I-E-R-O, law.net. I also want to mention Beth brought into me the estate planning show on Your Financial Choices, where we talked about powers of attorney, was on May 3rd, 2017. So that's wdiy.org and scroll to the May 3rd, 2017 show, because that was a really good show too. So Jim, we were talking about the documents. So we talked about the importance of those, the today documents, the tomorrow documents. Let's kind of wrap that up, because I know that you also, again, because this is a subject near and dear to your heart, and it's such an important subject, and we want to make sure we're supporting the caregivers out there. I know you want to talk about some technology that might be out there, some resources that are out there for people, and supporting the caregiver. So for the documents, we talked about the today documents, the tomorrow documents. What about if someone doesn't have documents?
So as part of getting folks organized, if they don't have documents, we have to fall back on what Pennsylvania law says. So if it's late stage and the progression of the disease, and someone needs you to take care of them from a legal financial standpoint, and they don't have any documents, we're left with the alternative of pursuing a guardianship on behalf of a loved one. So I've been involved in many guardianship actions over the years. It's a last resort, but the court will appoint a loved one the legal guardian of someone who's incapable of taking care of themselves. And so that can be when a child turns the age of 18 and they're severely autistic, they're going to need help for the rest of their lives. I help parents become the legal guardian of that child once that child turns 18, because that child will never be able to execute a general durable power of attorney or a living will or a last will and testament. And in situations where mom or dad didn't get the planning done and they're in their late 80s, and then, you know, you go to the court to become a court-appointed guardian so that you can be guardian over their estate, and that means you can take care of bill paying for them. You can take care of if the house needs to be sold. You have the legal authority to do that. Also, there's guardian over the estate. There's and the person as well. There's two types of guardianship in PA that are limited guardianships. One is guardian over the person. One is guardian over the estate. Guardian over the person makes all the health care decisions. What doctor? Surgery. Where do they live? Where do they go? Things like that. When you have guardian over both, that's called a plenary guardianship here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It is another tool in the toolbox. We like to not have to go there because we like to do planning in advance, but sometimes you just don't have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So there is what we would put in place.
And that would just add more stress to the caregiver.
Yes, it would.
I mean, so if we have not beat this into to the listeners on prior shows and this shows, and just in general, planning, the sooner the better. Do it now. Get it done, but also get it done right. And each person's situation is different, and that's why you have to kind of go through questions and interview with an attorney and make sure you have the right tool for your need. So let's talk about the caregiver again.
Sure.
And resources.
So for a caregiver, I want to finish up on why caregivers need to take care of themselves, but in order to properly be a good caregiver, you need to be organized. So every caregiver should have a caregiver binder. It sounds simple because it is, but a big three-ring D binder every caregiver should have so that you can have a list of your loved ones' medications. You can, all these tools are available to find on the web as well. You have a doctor visit prep form so you know what you need for that doctor. You have the list of questions. And you keep a care log for the date, the time, the description of activities you're taking care of a parent. So when someone comes and gives you respite care, care for the caregiver, you get a break. You've got a log of, you know, what to do when certain situations occur. And it could be a five-ring, you know, notebook, you know, with five sections as well. But, you know, you want to have a list of emergency contacts in there as part of the tools when you're talking about having that caregiver binder together. But in the world we have today, there's lots of technology that can assist with us taking care of those loved ones. And so I'm going to put a website out there, www.alzyouneed.com. It's www.allsyouneed.com, which will give you technology that will be supportive of you taking care of a loved one with dementia or Alzheimer's.
Jim, can it's A-L-Z as in zebra, and then is it Y-O-U?
Or Y-O-U.
Just Y-O-U, need.
Need.
So A-L-Z-Y-O-U, need.com.
Yes.
And that website has
different technologies such as pendants that can help you keep track of your loved one. So if they wander away, things like an Echo where they can ask them to play music, their favorite songs, and they can talk to. There are different programs that you could have on a tablet to take notes when you go to a doctor, like so called Pixie Scientific. There's communication, bigger like screens, so instead of just using your phone to FaceTime someone, you can have a big screen so that loved ones can check in from afar. And so it's big enough that it will turn on automatically. You can help wander, you know, pill reminders and things like that. You can have different systems in place. So there's so much out there. Ultimately, my prediction, we're all going to have a robot in the room of some shape or form that's going to remind us to drink our water, take our meds, do what we need to do. And people are able to check in on it, but there's also telemetry so that biometric devices where people can connect with the doctors, and also better monitoring if you have a loved one who has type 2 diabetes or type 1 diabetes, you've got to monitor their blood sugar. So there are different remote monitoring techniques if they have different things put in. So a lot of it is to be explored. Not every tool works, but when we're talking about caregivers, you know, you want to make your job less laborious so that you can steal more of those moments of joy out of the job.
Right, so you're using technology to help you with some of that caregiving.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Because at the end of the day, it's about the quality time you're going to spend with that loved one. Doing the laundry, changing the sheets, cooking the meals, changing, you know, the diapers that comes with the territory. To share this quick story, I told you that I took care of my grandparents when I was in high school and in college. And yes, we had to change the diapers and the bedpans, but it made me a much better person. Yeah. And I have a son who had to do the same thing for his grandfather. And he still tells me that he will never forgive me for having to change Pup-Up's diaper. And I assure you that someday he will thank me for having the ability to do that for his grandfather. And you know what? We do these things for people that we love. And I said to my son, I changed your diaper when you were little. Someday you might be changing my diaper, but you're just going to be paying me back for all of the care that Pup-Up gave to me. And, you know, I got to give to you. So you have to look at those things. To me, that's a moment of joy that he was able to participate in taking care of his grandfather.
Right.
And when you're 15, you don't necessarily see it that way. But I know as he gets older, he will have a different vantage point. And he probably even does today as we talk more about
it. Well, it's a real honor when someone allows themselves to be vulnerable with you. You know, they're in a you know, a weakened state, and they understand that sometimes, and it's a real privilege sometimes that they've honored you to respect you enough to be their caregiver, really, too.
Some of my best moments in life are the moments when I was able to be a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, as a caregiver, some of the best ones that people had let me know was just being able to rub someone's back at a time where they were, you know, starting not to feel so well. You know, my mother, my grandmother, they always were very responsive when, you know, we would get a back rub. But, you know, I learned that from my grandfather growing up. He would give us the Turkish rub when we were kids. So these things are what we have to keep at the forefront of all of this, because it's so stressful to just be involved in the day-to-day activity of taking care of your job, your spouse, your kids, when, you know, all of these things compress on top of one another. So if we can use the technology, we want to do that. But we also want to make sure that we don't get sucked into just the endless cycle of, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. We do all this, as you said, because it's a privilege. It's a privilege to take care of a loved one, because they took care of us. We're just giving back a fraction of what they did for us, in my opinion, growing up. I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for my grandparents and my parents, who were good, honorable, hardworking people who took the time to raise myself, and I had 17 first cousins, you know, the right way. And today I look at these fond memories. You know, I have this great picture of my grandmother in her 90s in her hospital bed in our dining room, where we had her party hat on for her birthday and the confetti and blowing horns. And I remember, you know, going to my wife's grandmother's 100th birthday party. You look at these things and you realize how cool it was to see my four-year-old son there in his Bob the Builder vest at his grandmother's 100th birthday party and see four generations of family together all at once at a moment like that. So these are the things that I come back to when I'm doing the planning and you're doing the planning. As professionals, we want them to have the right tools in place, because we know every family needs the planning. Whether they have a loved one with dementia or Alzheimer's, they still need the legal documents in place. And it can come in different manners. And we want them to have strong financial planning so they don't have to worry about how are they going to pay for everything.
Right. Like be in front of some of the stressful items before, you know, they occur.
And, you know, as a caregiver, you're always going to have stress worrying about someone you love. It's normal. You never stop worrying about a child. Even though you're a 100-year-old parent, you've got a 7-year-old child, they're still your little boy or girl. And so we see that. So take a break, caregivers. Get some respite care. Take a vacation. Don't forget to go to your doctor and get your doctor's appointments in, because I see that happen too frequently. caregivers die 40% of the time before the person they're taking care of. So we don't want to miss out on those moments of joy is what I just want to continually remind the audience on. And, yeah, that comes in different ways.
Thank you, Jim, for being here. It was a wonderful show. And, folks, if you just caught part of it, you can listen to the whole show probably in the next couple days. They post it to WDIY.org. Just go to local programming, Your Financial Choices. You can also find the show Jim and I did on, it was called Estate Planning, but in particular we talked about Powers of Attorney on May 3rd, 2017. If you want to reach out to Jim, the website is ruggierolaw.net. That's ruggierolaw.net. Phone number 484-224-3487. Jim, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And folks, Alzheimer's Conference, June 10th at DeSales. Coming up, next week, I have a pre-recorded show as I'll be off. We'll be back the following week with tips on cash flow management. And coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. Thank you, Shandi. Thank you, Seamus. Thank you, listeners. Have a great week.